Hey there, welcome to Hey there, welcome to the Behind the Paddle podcast. I'm your host, Rob Nunnery, and today we've got a fun guest. We've got Mr. Dylan Frazier, the number one ranked men's doubles player on the PPA Tour, and we're going to learn a little bit about Dylan's background. We're going to go into what his favorite event is in priority and order, where he thinks the sport's going to go, and what his goals are within the sport in the future. It's a fun chat. Let's get to know Dylan. Here we go. Dylan, everybody watching this on YouTube, this is not coordinated. Yes, we're twinning. I've been getting actually a lot of crap for this shirt from my girlfriend, Molly, and she's just saying it's too noisy. But hey, it feels good when I play. It's very lightweight. I sweat in it, and it doesn't get too bothersome.
I concur. Yeah, that's a good shirt.
Yeah. I mean, guys, looks aren't everything. And it's not about the shirt, it's about how you wear it. And I think we wear it fantastic. So Dylan, okay, everybody, we just talked about this a little bit before we hit record, but you know, the narrative with you in pickleball is that, you know, you're somebody that has taken the number one ranking in men's doubles on the PPA. And you've done that with quote unquote, no racket sports background, but you started playing pickleball at what age?
I was 14. I started 2016.
And what were you doing other than pickleball at that time? Were you big into other sports?
So I played other sports. I was playing basketball and baseball and a little bit of football at the time. I only played baseball for just my first couple of years of high school.
Got it. So in high school, where is this? Where did you grow up?
This is in a small town called Ashland, Missouri. It's about 15 miles south of Columbia, where the University of Missouri resides.
Got it. So are you a big Missouri fan then?
I am. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. And did you like grow up, like going to the football games and all of that?
Yeah, definitely went to some football games and basketball games and even more so recently since I started going to school there, definitely got into the team sports a little bit more and have attended some more games.
Nice. Is there anything going on with pickleball at the University of Missouri?
There's no official club or anything yet, or there was, but it kind of broke up. I actually reached out to like the president of the club. It had started and then it kind of fell apart and lost interest, I guess, but they've got two or three pickleball courts in their gym area. The court dimensions are off. It's temporary nets. They can actually use like a badminton net and it's not like the greatest pickleball scene, but I guess at least it was there so that people could be exposed to it and at least know what it is. There is a public park about 15 minutes away that a lot of college kids are playing at these days, especially in the evenings.
Yeah, and that's a huge trend that I've started to see. Like even so, I was up at a club in Ann Arbor, Michigan called Wolverine Pickleball, and just doing like a little exhibition. But I mean, obviously, Ann Arbor is a huge college town with the University of Michigan there, and it feels like pickleball historically has been, you know, for the retired crowd, the 50 plus. Obviously, that's changing a lot with all the attention it's getting in the media, with MLP and the celebrity owners, that kind of thing. But there seems to be like a really, really big push with college age kids that are using pickleball as kind of their outlet, you know, after class, that kind of thing. So you've noticed that in Missouri?
Yeah, for sure. Especially in the evening time after all the classes are over. Yeah, there's a lot of kids out there. I think that at that public park, there's, I want to say like 12 courts, at least 12 to 15 courts, and a majority of them, probably 75%, are full with college kids.
I mean, that's pretty cool. Like in Jacksonville as well, where I'm at a lot of the time, there the public courts are filled with like, 20-year-old some like 20 somethings, late 20s, early 30s. It's the demographics coming down, which is really cool. And then I don't know if you saw that Pickleball World Series, that tour with $50 million in prize money. I think what we're going to see, and then obviously all the PPA, MLP contracts, and just the APP, and all of the money that's kind of funneling into the sport at the highest level, I think that's going to keep the trend pushing younger with, like, next it'll be like youth programs and junior programs, and kids will start training at an early age to get good at the sport. And then, we saw, I don't know if you saw, did you see that announcement with the, I think it was in Maryland, the county high schools are all starting pickleball as a varsity sport.
Oh wow, no, I did not see that. That's cool.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the first one, but I think that'll be a growing trend where, these kids coming up will like, if going pro's not the goal, right? Making your high school varsity team will be the goal, and then you'll have kids starting to play in middle school and elementary school, and it doesn't have to be like every kid's aspirations to be a pro player, but I think we'll see. I think just the high school aspect, the college club aspect, I think it's all flowing to being a competitive sport at the high school and college level, and that's just going to create a huge junior push. And I think it's really cool that you started at 14. So I know you've talked about a little bit playing with your mom, that kind of thing. So I don't want to go too into things people already know. But what is your take on, just pickleball as a junior sport, and is it something that you would have played had it been available, or had there been a varsity high school team or a college team? Is it something you would have started at an earlier age?
Yeah, I think so. If I had found it earlier, I think I would have taken to it just as much as I did when I was 14. But yeah, no, I think it makes sense for a lot of junior players to be playing pickleball, especially since like if you do have aspirations to turn professional, I feel like at least right now the barrier to entry into the pickleball pro scene is a lot smaller than the likes of tennis or another more established sport. And so, especially with the amount of money that's coming into pickleball, I think it makes a lot of sense to train for that, if you will, as opposed to maybe like a tennis career, which can be a little harder, a little more grueling. Travel's a little bit tougher right now, although pickleball is international now, which is exciting. So the travel schedule is probably going to pick up a little bit. Eventually pickleball is going to get there probably to where tennis is, and the barrier to entries might be similar, although pickleball will always be kind of, it'll always be like a little bit easier to pick up. It kind of has that social component to it, so it's a little bit more fun to get into. There's more of a community around it. So I think starting pickleball and getting into it kind of will always be a little bit easier and probably more fun when compared to tennis. So I think the junior movements are exciting. I definitely would have joined one if it was around, or if I had found it, I guess, before I had turned 14. My high school didn't have a tennis or a tennis team or like any kind of racket sport like that. So I was kind of stuck in the mainstream sports like football and baseball and basketball, despite kind of having a passion for racket sports.
Yeah. And at what age did you start really starting to travel and play tournaments?
Yeah, that was I gotta get my timeline right. So I turned pro in 2020, and then I was traveling before tournaments probably a couple years, maybe, yeah, probably a couple years before that, or maybe probably actually 2017, like a year after I started. Like I guess like once I started playing tournaments rather quickly, and there wasn't like a professional tour or anything at the time, but there were like a bunch of local tournaments around the Midwest. Dave the Weinbach Badger was the man around town. He was the guy to beat. And then Althoff Merchant came in. So I played a lot of tournaments in like Kansas City area, Springfield, Illinois, the Show Me Games in Columbia, Missouri hometown. That's kind of where I got started.
Nice. And what's it been like? You said you're at the University of Missouri now. What's it been like through kind of that journey of starting to play, really where it's been full time and full time travel? How's that balance been with school? Like, is, are most of your classes, have they been mostly remote?
Yeah. So starting with my junior year, I switched to remote learning. So my classes are all virtual, online. I can do them anywhere, kind of, and the when I'm able to do it is pretty flexible. So it kind of helps with the schedule and traveling of pickleball. I was going in person full time my freshman and sophomore year, and now at that time, like, I started my freshman year with the idea that I was going to get a degree in accounting. Pickleball is still kind of this thing on the side, but maybe not my priority at that time when compared to the whole school route. And then that kind of switched at the end of my sophomore year when the tours started gaining a little bit of momentum and offering contracts to players, and it made more sense financially to be playing on the tours. And so then my shift kind of switched from, like, full-time student, part-time pickleball player to full-time pickleball player, part-time student. And that's when I switched to the online classes at Mizzou. Before that, so, like, my sophomore year was really tough, because at that time I was following the APP and PPA tour and playing, you know, 32 weeks, traveling 32 weeks out of the year. And so a lot of times it was fly into Columbia Sunday night after a tournament and get to my 8 a.m. class the next morning on Monday. And so that was just tough. And I really enjoyed the in-person classes and going on campus like that. The whole college experience was fun, but it just became a little bit too much. So I switched to online. I'm now doing one online class per semester. So made it very easy on myself to keep up with all the schoolwork. And I think I've got four or five classes left, and I'm at a pace of one class per semester. So maybe if I double up one semester, I'll finish by the end of next year. We'll see how it goes.
Okay. So you're not far off. What are you studying?
And I switched to business administration when I switched online. So business admin.
Got it. And I mean, with everything going on in pickleball, and then obviously you getting your degree, I mean, degrees are funny nowadays, right? It's like they're getting, I guess, you know, not to diminish you getting a degree, but they're getting less and less, I guess, important, unless you want to be a doctor or an attorney or something like that where it's required. But business administration's good. It's good education, period. Based on kind of where you're at and what you're doing in life, which is being a pro pickleball player, having, you know, whether you want to be or not, you're your own personal brand, really, right? Where you make money by the tours, by playing events, by paddle sponsorships, etc. How do you plan on, like, what do you see in the future in respect to the degree and in respect to what you want to do, whether it's in pickleball or whether it's something off the court in pickleball or off the court completely outside of pickleball?
Yeah, I definitely foresee myself staying involved with pickleball in some form or fashion for the long term, whether it be, you know, playing pickleball. My plan is to extend my playing career as long as possible. Like, that exciting and fun and kind of my priority right now, but yeah, definitely starting to look for ways outside of just playing pickleball to kind of get involved with the sport. There's lots of opportunities out there, especially given that pickleball is kind of in its growth phase right now, and there's just so many different ways to get involved. You can do, you know, a podcast, you can do some clinics and camps, or kind of like Tyson does, and there's a bunch of paddle manufacturers springing up, so there's some opportunities to maybe do some deals there. But I'm definitely starting to look right now, and I haven't done like a thorough look into it yet, because I'm still hopeful that I'll be playing for at least another few years. But afterwards, I definitely like to find a way to remain involved in pickleball and use that business administration degree to some degree.
Love it. Favorite person to play against?
Favorite person to play against. That's tough. I like playing against the best player. So I guess in singles right now, Federico's ranked number one. I always enjoy playing against Ben. And then in doubles, playing against Ben is always fun because he and Annalie are dominant. He and Colin have had a dominant run. Playing against the best players always seems to bring out my best stuff when I match up against him. So I always enjoy that.
Love it. And what's your take on, cause I've had Fed on the podcast, and he talked to me a little bit about singles versus doubles. So two-part question. One, which do you enjoy more? And two, if we're looking at pickleball long-term as a viewership sport, do you think singles ever overtakes doubles as more of the premier event?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I've talked about this with some other players too before. My favorite event is men's doubles, and then probably followed by men's singles and then mixed doubles. I think in terms of spectatorship right now, at least in men's doubles, maybe there's a problem to be solved, because when you look at the last however many men's doubles gold medal matches, it's so much dinking, and to players or to spectators that maybe don't play pickleball themselves, or they're just tuning in for the first time, it can be kind of a turnoff to turn on the TV and just see like a lot of dink rallies going on and kind of a slow paced game, and then a quick hands battle exchange and the point's over and then you repeat. If you're a player of the game, then it's you kind of have like a degree of respect for what the players are trying to do and how they're trying to work the dink around it and move the dink around to set up the rally ending shot, if you will. And I think if the game could be sped up a little bit, and I don't know exactly how you might incentivize that, but I think if there's a way to do that would be ideal. I think that's why women's doubles is often talked about as the most fun to watch event in pickleball, because there's a lot more firefight exchanges. The women are backing off the line a little bit more. The point, you know, you can have a firefight and then the point gets reset and then another firefight. The points are just a little bit more exciting to watch. There's a little bit more defense involved.
And that's singles, because I would say like on the women's side, it's like you said, everybody's kind of off the line. So those exchanges are extended, right? Like they're taking full wax with two-handed backhands, full swings, not even like compact. It's a full swing. And then it's just boom, 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 boom. Because they're off the line, like I feel like the guys are always towing the line and have more power. And those firefights, you know, if you get a 3-4 shot firefight nowadays, like that's long. So there's just like the firefights are shorter in men's. And I'm just thinking out loud here, just based on that conversation, based on what you're saying, is what if there was, like in basketball, like the men's 3-point line is further back than the women's, like, what if the kitchen line was, call it, you know, another 12 inches further back for the guys or something, could be interesting.
We are Selkirk. We are pickleball.
Pickleball?
Yeah. Pickleball.
All ages, family, friends, dinks, drives, Ernies, ATVs, and whatever this is. 10 years in and just getting started. Here and not going anywhere. We are you, and you are who we work for. Family owned, USA made, pickleball proud. Selkirk Sport. We are pickleball.
Yeah, no, I like the idea. And there's also talk about extending the net. I've heard Zane say like we should extend the net a little bit further so that it encourages more wide dinks, because the ATP is not as easy anymore. But something like that, yeah, if you could tinker with the dimensions of the court or the kitchen line. There's also talk about making paddles more powerful or less powerful, and there's kind of a debate around like which would incentivize a faster level of play at the pro level. But yeah, there's probably a couple different things to mess around with to see if it speeds up the game a little bit.
What's your take on paddles? Is it, and we'll get back to the singles because I'm still curious, but just let's just tangent away here. What's your take on the paddle situation in terms of the current power deflection as well as the current spin grit, and where would you like it to be? Like, what's your ideal world?
Yeah, I think right where we are right now at this point in time is okay. And I know there's a lot of complaints going circulating about the Yolo paddle being the best paddle or maybe too powerful, but I think right now where we are is okay. Although where we are right now is a fairly boring, if you will, men's doubles game because of all the dinking that goes on. So I would think that maybe if you regulate the paddle so they can't have as much power, that would incentivize more speed ups, because you don't just get punished for your, like in men's doubles, for example, if I'm going to speed up off the bounce, to someone like a Deco Bar that's just got a really strong counter, especially with that Yule paddle. I mean, he does naturally, but then the Yule paddle adds to it. And then he just kind of ends it right away. Like, I would think that if you use a less powerful paddle, that and you have a better chance of getting that first counter attack back in men's doubles, that would encourage maybe more speed ups. And so maybe if we get to a point where the paddles are less powerful, that would be better. In terms of the amount of
grits, it would encourage more offense, right? If the paddles were less powerful.
I would think so, yeah. I would think so. And I don't know how much you go down. Like, do we go all the way down to wooden paddles? Like you can kind of make that comparison. Like the Major League Baseball players use wooden bats in baseball. I don't know. I don't know if that's too extreme or if that's the solution, but yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that played out.
Sounds kind of fun.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to at least have like one wooden paddle tournament a year. You know what I mean? Just like, even if that's not the full-time solution, just like, everybody plays with the same exact paddle.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Because otherwise now, like pickleball now, you could almost say it's kind of like Formula One in the sense that a lot of the successful drivers are driving the best vehicles, kind of similar to pickleball. Like you don't want it to get to a point where the best players are the best players because they have the best paddles in their hand. And I'm not saying that is the case right now, but maybe we're heading to that point if regulation does not come into play.
Yeah, agreed. Back to singles. So singles is your second favorite event. Men's doubles first, even though, agreed, I think it's the least interesting to watch for a casual fan just because of its extended dink rallies.
Which I'm on the same page. Like I love men's doubles, the nuances of it, the strategy of it. It's not just who can hit the ball hardest and crash fastest. It's you got to be really smart, and it's strategic, and it's nuanced. And to me, it's same in women's. It's like the highest level of pickleball. And I think for the casual viewer though, it's not super fun to watch. So on that note, do you see mixed and singles being the future of pickleball? That makes me even like cringe saying it, but as a casual viewer, and that's another question, is are we creating the sport for a casual viewer, and do we need to? Because we have, like, participation wise there's so many people playing the sport. Do we need to bring a casual viewer? Will the people that are like going to the park in Columbia, Missouri, like, will they eventually start looking on YouTube and then like start looking up the pros and like go down that, you know, start taking a lesson? Like, do we need to go after the casual sports fan, or is the pickleball player enough?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. And my initial thought on that is that yes, you kind of have to go after the casual sports fans, because to me, at least from my perspective, what I've seen in my experience is that there are a lot of participants in pickleball, but it's tough to turn some of those participants into spectators. Like, I'll go out to a park and there's a lot of people that, you know, are avid pickleball players. They play every single day of the week, every morning with the group, whatever, but they don't know about the pro scene. They don't follow it. Like, they don't know the names. And so I think we've got to, and maybe the solution to that is making pickleball spectatorship easier to follow and keep up with, right? Cause we've talked about how it's kind of complicated to keep up with where pickleball is streaming and when, like when and where you can find pickleball matches to watch. So maybe that's part of the problem, is that we need to make it a little bit more streamlined and easier to find for this population, or maybe it's that we need to go after the casual sports fan and make it appealing to them as well.
Yep. No, that makes sense. Do you think singles is going to overtake doubles as the premier event?
That's a good question. I could maybe see it. Although I think men's singles, like in terms of spectatorship, maybe it's more exciting to watch because there's more explosive movements and you're covering a larger part of the court. It's a little bit more physically demanding than doubles. And so maybe to some people that makes it more exciting. Maybe to other people they're more interested in the strategic component of the game. But even in singles, like the rallies sometimes are pretty short. It's like a huge part of singles right now, like you kind of live and die off of your serve and return in singles. Like you hit a serve as good as you can. If you get a weak return, you're probably gonna, you know, hit a third shot winner or a ball that leads to a fifth shot winner. So the rallies and singles even sometimes can be a little stale, I guess, if you will, in terms of like the kind of the same things happening over and over again, and the rallies can be short. And now in high level singles matches, the defense maybe is a little bit better, so a couple more balls come back. But for the most part, it's all about that serve and return. At least from my perspective, that's how I see it.
Yeah, which begs the, I mean, yeah. So I think to change that, I mean, you could have really exciting singles points if you just dial down the power and dialed up the grit.
Yeah.
Or even left the grit the same. You don't really even need to dial it up too much more now. But if you take away like just the monster serves and the monster returns, you're going to have some really interesting strategic points. I think it would favor all of those guys, that yourself included, that really like cat and mouse. But I think if we did that, it would have to go to like every singles event would have to be a progression draw. Like if you dialed the power back 50% on these paddles and then you're playing a full singles day event, like every point's going to be insane. So it's, it would have to be progression.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
But that sounds fun to watch. Like it would be, I mean, maybe not fun to play, but as a viewer, it would be fun to watch.
Yeah, I think it would be fun to watch, and I think you're right. I think the points would be a lot crazier and more intense, and it'd be more physically demanding. So, and I think all of the above make it a better sport to watch, at least in my opinion. Yeah, and so maybe wooden paddles is the answer. Maybe that wooden paddle tournament once a year. Maybe we start with that and see how it goes. But that, I think that would be fun.
Wooden paddle, it's like old school, like ping pong. I remember playing ping pong at the pool when I was a kid. It was like a really crappy table, and the paddles were wooden, but they had some sandpaper slapped on them. Maybe we do like a backyard wooden paddle, sandpaper paddle, and just see what happens.
I like it.
All right. So I like to finish these conversations up with a question that's, you know, let's say, okay, hypothetical. Let's say we're sitting here 2 years from now to this day, and we're on this podcast and we're celebrating what's happened over the last 2 years for you. What would need to have happened over the last 24 months for you to just be absolutely pumped with where you're at?
Yeah, good question. I think improving my ranking, like I just, the pickleball landscape is so unpredictable. It's just so hard to predict like what can even happen. But I think I would be content if I were kind of in a similar position that I'm in now, in the sense that I'm competing and on the pro scene at a high level, and maybe my mixed doubles and singles rankings, I can bring them up a little bit. And I think that's possible, especially with a more consistent partnership that I have in mixed doubles right now with Tyra. So I would just say like kind of maintaining the position I'm in now and improving my ranking a little bit and mixed doubles and singles, I think that would be a huge win. I mean, I just enjoy the pickleball itself like so much and traveling and competing. The traveling can get a little bit tiresome at times and repetitive, but for the most part, like I really enjoy competing on the tour. And so I think if I'm still doing that 2 years from now, that would be a win for me.
Love it. Do you enjoy the team format with MLP, or do you enjoy the tournament scene better?
Yeah, so I mean I enjoy the team aspect of pickleball. Major League Pickleball tournaments to me is an interesting idea, and I'm kind of glad that we're doing a little bit of both the PPA and MLP. In terms of which one I like a little bit better, I would say I have maybe a preference for the PPA tournaments, and to me, again, it kind of goes back to it's just a higher level, higher quality game, because as opposed to, you know, having Ben Johns team up with the last pick in the draft, like it's Ben Johns and his first choice of partner. So it becomes a little bit of a higher level game, a little bit more quality matches. And to me, that's the most interesting thing to watch. And so that's why I probably have a slight preference to the PPA tournaments. I think the MLP tournaments are are fun and great, though. Don't get me wrong. The energy is really good. Having that team behind you and the fans seem to get into it a lot. So I think it's great for pickleball. Yeah.
Love it. Well, I know you've got to get out of here shortly, so I appreciate you coming on Behind the Paddle, Dylan, and we'll have to do this again, hopefully in 2 years where you're triple crowning. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Bring it on.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me on.